Ephesians chapter 6, in your Bibles tonight, please. Ephesians chapter 6, and going to be continuing in our preparedness for the battle as Christians. And I think I've mentioned more than once that we are in a battle, and I think most of us here have probably, I shouldn't say most of us, all of us, at least I believe, have experienced the battle. Amen? We've experienced the battle. If you're trying to live for the Lord, you're trying to do right, you're trying to honor the Lord Jesus Christ with your life, you're basically setting yourself up as a prime target for the devil. And God has bought us. He's redeemed us. He's taken us and He's put us into the kingdom of light. There's certainly nothing that the devil can do. There's certainly nothing that can be done in his part to ever get us out of that kingdom of light. I'm glad that we're in the kingdom of light forever. Amen? The devil can't get us back or translate us back into that dark kingdom. We will never become one of his children again. I'm glad for that. But does that mean that he leaves us alone when we become Christians? And does he only worry about the unsaved? Well, if you stop and think about it, he doesn't really have to bother the unsaved too much. They're already in his control. And if you think about the fact that we have become redeemed, we become part of God's family. We know what we've done, and I think we'll see that a little bit tonight. We've crossed the floor, you know, politically speaking, and we've joined the other party. And you know, when you're going to do something like that, the party left, they're not going to be happy about that. And you know, they're going to be giving you all the fits that they possibly can. And Paul, as he talks about the armor here in Ephesians chapter 6, I will say this, and I will stress this again. It is important that we make sure, as God's people, that we have the whole armor of God on. Paul doesn't say, make sure, you know, you only take with you today what you think you're going to need. You know, you're going to the workplace, so you're going to need this and this and this, and it's okay. You don't need to bother putting on certain areas of protection or even our attack. You know, that the devil is going to try to get us in a weak area. He's always going to look for that weak area. I mentioned that a couple of weeks ago. And when we think about the Christian armor, as I mentioned, it's you can imagining that old armor from head to toe, that guy, you know, walking around in that rather awkward looking suit, you know, that's that armor suit, and with his little thing that he would flip up, and you know, it doesn't look like you could be too mobile in that, or maybe too active, but that's the kind of idea here when we think about the entire armor of God. And tonight we're going to be looking at the subject of a foothold. Paul is aware, I think, as he writes this, not only that there's a battle in the wiles of the devil and the fiery darts of the devil, but I think more than most people, Paul understood because he personally experienced the attacks of the devil. Certainly, Paul was no stranger to the devil's wiles and the way he works, because he was one of his prime targets. Why was he one of his prime targets? Because he was busy doing the Lord's work, because he was busy starting churches and winning people to Christ, and again, correcting the churches, if you will. And many of the letters that he wrote were letters of correction and instruction, and all of the things that they needed to know in their particular instances. And he knew what it was to be attacked, and he realized that every part of us needs to be protected. Even our feet. When we think about feet, I think you can tell a lot about a person by their feet. And this verse tells us that God likes feet as well. And the Bible even talks about the feet of the righteous. Certain people have beautiful feet. And I don't know if you've ever thought about somebody's feet being beautiful before. I used to know they're just stinky, you know. The old saying, you got smelly feet and your nose runs instead of your feet running and your nose smelling and all of that. We don't maybe think about it too much, but the Bible talks about certain people's feet being beautiful. And this is why Satan is out to attack them. And this is why we must protect them to keep them beautiful in God's sight. And what are we talking about when we're talking about the feet here? Do we mean our literal feet? Well, we'll see exactly what this is talking about. What part of our Christian life that's associated with this attack here? We have no shortages of foot problems in life. I mean, there's bunions and plantar's warts, and there's neuroma, corns and calluses, bone spurs and hammer toe, ingrown toenails, flat feet, Achilles tendonitis, athlete's foot, broken bones, sprained ankles, and the list can go on and on. And you know, our feet are, physically speaking, are always under attack. But this isn't exactly what the devil is going to do to our feet. You know, most of these things can be painful. But when we think about many of these problems, they can immobilize us. They can stop us from being effective when it comes to our walk and our witness. Back in the slave days, if there was certain slaves, the American slave days, there were slaves, if they would try to run away, they would immobilize them. They would, in general, they would cut off their big toe. Because when your big toe was cut off, it was very difficult for you to run. And be mobile and to do anything that we consider important when it comes to moving. Our feet, the bottom line is, our feet help us to be mobile. And when we think about this for a minute, Christianity is more than just a, if you will, a religion. It's more than just an ideology or a philosophy about God or thoughts about God or ideas about God. Christianity is a faith. It's an active life. It's a life that we live. The Bible, as I mentioned, calls it a walk. If we don't have feet, we can't walk. And again, if we don't have feet, we cannot proclaim the gospel. We can't be preaching the gospel. We can't be active in those areas. And so that's why the devil attacks our feet, because he wants to immobilize us. He wants to stop us from being effective and moving forward for God. Listen, our feet are, they are what moves us. And as I mentioned, if you have any of those problems I mentioned, if you have bone spurs, if you have a sprained ankle or a broken bone in your foot or whatever it may be, you're not going very far. And if you are, you're not going there very fast. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 15, the Bible says, "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this instruction that you've given us tonight on having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. Lord, we desire here, I believe, to be active Christians in the army of our Lord. And God, without our feet, without our ability to be mobile, we are truly helpless and we are ineffective in that battle. God, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would work in our hearts tonight as we look into this scripture. We'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Albert Barnes, in his notes, says this: "There's undoubtedly an allusion here to what was worn by the ancient soldiers to guard his feet. The Greek is literally this: having underbound the feet. That is, having bound on the shoes or sandals or whatever was worn by the ancient soldiers to protect of the feet and the ankles consisted of two parts. First of all, there was the sandal or the shoe part of that that particular thing that was worn, which was probably made so as to cover only the foot, and which often was fitted with nails or armed with spikes to make the hold firm on the ground. And number two, it was the what was called the greaves. The greaves were fitted to the legs and designated to defend them from any danger. These greaves or boots, which we find mentioned in 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 6, were made of brass, and they were almost universally used amongst the Greeks and the Romans. The word there, to have your feet shod, that word in the Greek, hupadeo, it's a compound word, and it means to bind under one's foot. Put on shoes, put on sandals, to bind on or to be shod. How does this help us to fight against Satan? Well, first of all, the Bible says there that it is with the preparation of the gospel of peace. With the preparation of the gospel of peace. This word, preparation, it's the idea of being ready or being fit or swiftness. And the idea, according to Lee Robinson, is that they were to be ever ready to go forth, and they were ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And having their feet shod was to prepare them for the march and for the journey that was ahead of them. I believe Brother Crow, Len Crow, didn't he try to redo the Pony Express? Did he ever do that? He did? Didn't beat the record. The Pony Express, when we think about preparedness and being ready, it certainly was something that people had to be ready at the drop of a hat, at a moment's notice. It is hard to beat the Pony Express, this historically famous mail service between St. Joseph in Missouri and California, depended on constant movement and readiness. It was always readiness. Relay stations were established every 10 or 15 miles, and a rider would shout aloud as he approached one of those stations, giving the station master very short notice that he needed to be outside waiting with a fresh mount. Even when a rider came to the station where he was going to spend the night, another rider was already mounted and waiting and ready to take the mail, to take the bundles and the packages, and continue on the trip. There was no time for delay. A moment would be too late. The completion of the transcontinental telegraph system rendered the Pony Express obsolete, and it only actually lasted for 18 months. But we have this service, this intriguing example of what it means to be ever watchful and ready. Jesus used two parables to teach of the value of readiness and preparedness. God wants us to be prepared, and this is the idea. We always have to be ready. God commands us to go out, to go into all the world and to preach the gospel. We're not going out with mail. We're not going out with sacks of literature. We're going out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it is with that gospel that we ever must be ready. You know, we were back at New Hope, we were doing a guy's roof. We called the guys that came later on, we called them the second shift. But a bunch of us, we showed up about 7 o'clock in the morning. And it was, if you've ever done a roof, it's a long day. I mean, you're sweating up there. It was a hot day. I remember doing it the one particular day. And I think it was about 40 degrees. And we were working hard on that roof. And these guys showed up around lunchtime. And they were going to come and help. And we were glad we had some help. Amen. But they showed up, and if you've ever done a roof, you know there's two basic rules of roofing. Number one, you don't wear sandals, flip-flops, okay, when you're up on a roof. Number two, you don't wear cowboy boots. The second shift showed up. We're not kidding. They had sandals and cowboy boots on. So, great. You're not prepared. You don't have the right protection on your feet. You don't have the right things on your feet. You know, if you've ever been on a roof, and I've been on many roofs doing roofing, putting shingles on, and you know, that plywood up there gets a little bit wet, and it's like ice sometimes. And you've got to have the right footwear on, or you're going to go sliding off that roof. And in fact, that particular day, I did. I ended up skiing down, but I had a plan. I had actually plan A, plan B, and plan C. And I'm just thankful that plan A worked out and I didn't have to go to plan B. Well, what was your plans? Well, my first plan, because it started raining, we had to put tarps over it. In fact, that's what we were doing when I started sliding. And my plan A was just to grab the tarp. You know, grab the tarp because it was nailed down at the top. What was your plan B? Well, just stick my feet out and try to grab the eaves trough. And what was plan C? Make sure I fell on somebody below so they broke my fall. Amen. I'm glad I didn't get to plan C. So, you know, you want to be prepared. You want to be prepared and do things right. And here the Bible talks about being prepared to carry the gospel, to wear the footwear that God has for us, if you will. And God wants us to have a foothold, if you will. Anyone who's ever played soccer, I used to wonder this myself. Why do people who play soccer, why do they wear shin pads? And as I mentioned, we stop and think about it. That part of the protection of the soldiers was it like a shin pad? It was a brass shin pad. Why do those guys wear shin pads? Well, there's a couple of reasons why they wear shin pads. And I was watching the World Cup years ago, the World Cup of soccer, and it was the final game. And the ball had gone into the crease, and the goalie and one of the players on the other team were running towards the ball, both trying to get there first. And they both slid into it, and they both hit shins together, just cracked their shins, shin to shin, as they were going in after the ball. And I remember that one, it was the guy who was the player who was attacking, who was coming in. Maybe it was the goalie. One of them, anyways. But I remember when their shins hit, they stopped, except part of his leg kind of went like that. And I'm going, I don't think your leg's supposed to bend that way. And yeah. And then that's one reason why you wear shin pads. And then years ago, we got the kids, we got some cleats for them for playing soccer. And I can't remember whose they were, but one of them got these cleats, and they were that long. And so they were out there, and what are they doing? Well, they're sliding into each other, and you're getting those cleats right in the shins. And I don't know how, I'm in my mind, I'm trying to imagine how you could walk in shoes with cleats that long. You'd be constantly like, you know, kind of sticking into the ground like Velcro, you know, as you're going along. Well, you need, those cleats were for very muddy conditions, obviously wet, very wet ground. And whoever owned the ground probably didn't mind because they're getting their lawn aerated. But kids were coming in all the time with bloody shins because they were getting contact that they really didn't want. Now, most soccer leagues and different things like that don't allow you to have metal spikes. You've got to have plastic cleats, and there's good reason for that. You know, when we think about those cleats are nice to have, and it's something that part of, again, that soldier's footwear, they had cleats, they had spikes, they had nails, and that allowed them to get a better foothold. And you can imagine if you've ever been in a wrestling match out in the yard in the grass or whatever it may be, and you two guys are, you know, kind of going head to head, and one guy will start pushing the other one along, and he's not getting any traction, and he's being moved. And the idea of having those cleats or those spikes in the bottom of the shoes was so that they could get a better grip, and so that they were able to exert their weight and they were able to push forward and have that firm understanding, if you will. You know, because the devil would like nothing more than to knock us off balance. He would like nothing more than to be able to take our feet out from underneath us. And you know, we've got to be prepared, and we've got to have a firm grounding in the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then we have our defense as well. You know, it's not only for the defense of our warfare that we have these shoes, not only so that we have protection, but also they were used for attack. You know, when I was young, I took karate for a little while. And, you know, you get all these guys, you know, all wanting to be the next Bruce Lee and all this other stuff in the dojo and, you know, going at it in there. And everybody wants to be able to, we'd all work out on the bag, and we'd all have these things that we could use to kick to practice. And everybody's trying to kick really high. I remember one time I tried to kick so high, my foot went, I should have had those cleats on. They went right out from underneath me. I ended up flat on the ground. And, well, at least I gave everyone a good laugh. Amen. But we were all trying to be the one that could kick the highest. We'd all have competitions to see who could kick the highest. But I always remember my sensei telling me, you know what, when you're in combat, don't always think about going for the head. Everybody was talking about kicking and being able to kick as high as somebody's head. And he said, listen, the head is actually the worst target that you can consider because of several reasons. Number one, it was the farthest away from your foot, which obviously means it's going to take more time for your foot to get there. And he said, you know what? You want to kick low. You want to kick sometimes even below the knees. But definitely you want to kick. You want to kick in the legs or in the midsection. If you're in battle, that's what you want to do. Why? During Bible times, again, and what the footwear that is being referred to here, they would spike them. And I mean not underneath, but I mean at the toe. And in many cases, they would put either a razor there, or they would put some sort of knife so that they could kick and so that they could inflict damage in that way if they could. See, if we're unable to attack, we've got to make sure that we have a strong defense, and then we've got to make sure that we can actually be on the offensive. And see, that's what I said many times during this series, is not only are we always to be on the defense, not only is the armor for defense, but it is also for attack. The Bible says in Matthew 16 and verse 18, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I've heard preaching before. I've heard people say, yeah, you know, that means that we've got to be fortified so that we can withstand the attacks. Well, no, that's not what that's saying. It's saying that the gates of hell will not prevail against the attacks of the church. We're going to win. You're saying we're going to attack the gates of hell? Well, we're not going to be taking up swords or guns or knives, but we are going to be attacking the gates of hell with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's how we attack the gates of hell is with the gospel. It is our only attack. It's the only way that we can be victorious. It's our only weapon. You know, the best way to conquer your foe is to get them to join you. And that's exactly what the gospel of Jesus Christ does. The Bible says it's the gospel of peace. It brings about peace and reconciliation. It makes our enemies our brothers. It makes our enemies our sisters. It makes those who were once on the other side, as I mentioned earlier, they cross the floor, they become Christians, they're on our side. Listen, the best way that you can defeat somebody, the best way, you know, that maybe that guy at the workplace that gives you a hard time about being a Christian, or maybe the person out there that, you know, just has no tolerance for the right things of life. You know what? If you want to beat that guy, Don't beat them with a club. Beat them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Witness to them. Get them saved. Amen? I remember one Christian I used to think, man, I'm glad he's on our side. Amen? And I was very glad he was on our side. But God has given us this offensive weapon of the gospel. God wants us to have sound feet to be able to go out and to be able to be effective for Him. God wants us to be prepared and to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. When we think about feet, we could imagine the need of athletes to have sound feet. When we think about the Jamaican sprinter Usain Bolt, it took him less than 10 seconds to cover the 100 meter distance on the Olympic track and win the gold medal in the Olympics when it was in London. Those few seconds cemented his status as the fastest man alive. It placed him in the winner's podium once again. But my question tonight is, when was the race won? When was the race truly won? Was it won at the track? Or was it won at the gym? Was it won in the practice and in the workouts and all of the training? You see, the race wasn't won in those few seconds. The race was won by those hours of practice, by all of the workout, by the weightlifting and the special diets and the coaching. The race was not won in the performance, but in the preparation. I don't think too many of us would do very well against Usain Bolt or any seasoned sprinter if we don't practice, if we're not prepared. If it is our desire to do something great, if it is our desire to do effective things for God, we have got to be prepared, and our feet, and if you will, our legs must be prepared to move. And it's not just going to happen. The effectiveness of our walk with the Lord isn't going to be perfected in the race, but rather the preparation. We've got to put on the armor. We've got to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and we've got to be prepared for when that opportunity arises. Serve God. Preach the gospel and win the lost. That's our attack. And that's how we're going to win. Wouldn't it be nice? We're talking this morning in our message, about our surroundings and our circumstances today. You know, wouldn't it be nice in this world that just seems to be getting crazier and crazier and crazier? Wouldn't it be nice if all of Wasaga Beach got saved? Wouldn't it be nice if all of Collingwood and all of Barrie and all of Toronto and all... You know what? That's how we're going to win. You're saying, Pastor, that's never going to happen. Well, maybe not in this dispensation. But that's how we're going to win. Let's go out there and fight the battle. Let's go out there and win some converts. Amen. Let's get out there and show people the good news of Jesus Christ. Get them on our side. Get them saved. Amen. And that's exactly what God wants. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to be here tonight. And Lord, we certainly need to be prepared with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the gospel of reconciliation, the gospel that will bring people over to the side of righteousness. God, the greatest way to defeat our enemies is to convert them. Lord, help us all here tonight to have those feet, those beautiful feet. Blessed and beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Father, we're thankful. I know each one of us here unquestionably are thankful for the individual who shared the gospel with us. But they did it because they had their feet prepared. They were ready to go out, and they were willing to do battle. Battle, the battle for souls, the battle that rages every day for the souls of people. The countless people that we meet every day that are on their way to a devil's hell unless we tell them about Jesus Christ. Lord God, I pray that we would be all that we can be for the glory of God and for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you and we praise you for this wonderful truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together as we have a closing song.